I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Those that are visiting, we're especially glad to have you with us. We encourage you to follow along as we read from these verses and then consider some things from the Bible about the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" When sending out the 70, Jesus was wanting them to go and let the people know that the kingdom of God is nearing, it's coming near. It's closer than it's been. And to pave the way. We know that John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus in the setting up then that Jesus would set up the kingdom. The kingdom is an interesting subject. It's discussed by a lot of people today, and you read a lot of religious papers that are written about the kingdom. There's a lot of papers been written by religious scholars and by different preachers, and not only people religiously, but people of the world have written concerning this. And when you do research on the kingdom, and there's a vast difference between what man thinks about the kingdom of God and what the Bible teaches. The man says one thing and God says another. God has explained to us about the kingdom. It's not only an interesting subject, it's an important subject. The Bible, if we look to the New Testament, we're going to see that the word kingdom is found a number of times throughout the Bible. 300 plus times it's mentioned in the Bible. At least 158 times in the New Testament, which among is 127 times in the accounts of the Gospel. Not only is it mentioned that many times, but it's also mentioned 31 times at least through the books of Acts through Revelation. So the word kingdom, or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the one and the same, the kingdom then of God is mentioned numerous times, and it was taught by several people throughout the Bible. Not only was it mentioned that many times, it was spoken by, it was preached about by at least 86 or 87 men in the Bible. And so when we look at that, the subject of the kingdom of God is very important. Now, the misunderstanding is that a lot of people believe that the kingdom of Christ has not yet been established and that Christ is going to return one day and He's going to set up a throne in Jerusalem among God's people and He's going to rule there for 1,000 years. That's one miscalculation that people have taken the Scriptures and twisted them to come up with the millennial theory. The premillennial teaching that He's going to be here 1,000 years, millennial reign. That's one misconception of the kingdom. Another is that there are some people hold to the fact that they believe that there are numerous kingdoms that God has set up. And some of them refer to that as the different types of churches that are named. One kingdom here, one kingdom there. All of them are kingdoms, but in essence, God's going to put them all into one eventually, and they're going to be the same. Does the Bible teach that? That's an interesting subject. So the kingdom, is when we look at it this evening, I want us to look at some verses. And it's probably going to take two or three Sunday evenings. And, of course, we'll skip next Sunday night, the Lord's willing. Brother Adam will be preaching. That's the fifth Sunday night. And then, the Lord's willing, after that, the first Sunday night in February, we'll continue on with the short series about the kingdom. But let's just look at a few things tonight from the Bible concerning the kingdom of Christ and the church itself, the kingdom of God. So we made mention of the fact that the kingdom is talked about in the Word of God is mentioned numerous times, and at least 86 or 87 early preachers preached that subject. So it was a popular subject, you might say, among New Testament preachers. Of course, all the New Testament preachers preached Christ and Him crucified. They preached the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that God sent Him to this earth to die, and He was raised from the grave the third day, and He was saw among men. He walked among men, and He was known by many witnesses after His resurrection, and He also the witness that He was ascended into heaven and that He is now seated at the right hand of God. So there's much testimony preached about Jesus Christ Himself. That's what the gospel is about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who God sent to this earth. He came to this earth and lived a perfect life, set the perfect example for us, willingly died on the cross and shed His precious blood for our sins, thus purchasing the church with His own blood. He paid the ultimate price to purchase the church or the kingdom with His blood, allowing us then to be able to enter that kingdom by virtue of faith and obedience of what God asked us to do in His Word, that we'd be baptized into Christ, and then the Lord Himself would add us to the church or the kingdom, as it is one and the same, the body of Christ, which exists among men, those who are baptized believers in Christ. So the kingdom is a popular subject. And let's look at about several scriptures in the New Testament tonight. I don't know how far we'll get with this. When we run out of time or I think we're getting tired, I see some eyebrows closing, we'll stop the lesson. But let's look at some of the verses in the Bible, that New Testament, that talks about the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the predecessor, the one who came proclaiming in the wilderness that Jesus is coming. And he prepared the way then, and he repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist preached the kingdom. Now God chose John to be the predecessor of Christ, the one who would go out and a voice crying in the wilderness to say that prepare ye the way, prepare yourselves, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's the forerunner, just ahead of Christ, just a very short time ahead of him, and they lived at the same time. And he's just ahead of Christ saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now, who's going to purchase the kingdom? Who's going to set up the kingdom? Who's going to be head over all things to the kingdom? Who's going to be the foundation to the kingdom or the church? It's going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So John then came in Matthew 3 and verse 2, preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not only did John the Baptist preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but John the Apostle also preached the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he was in the kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, we turn over there and we see that he was there and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he was in the kingdom, and he was preaching about the kingdom. He was preaching about tribulation and the things that were going on at that time and what was shortly going to come to pass when the Lord revealed it to him, and preparing the minds of those Christians then that as a Christian, it may not be an easy life to live, but and you may have some trials and tribulations. There may be things come up on you, but whatever, be thou faithful unto death, I give you a crown of life. So John the Apostle, he was preaching. He was in the kingdom, and he talked about it also. So John the Baptist preached the kingdom. John the Apostle preached it, and Jesus Himself. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4 and verse 17, we see that Jesus, in speaking of the kingdom and getting ready, He said, from that time, Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we think about what Jesus said concerning the kingdom of heaven, He preached that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, what John said. Matthew chapter 3, we'll just go ahead and read verses 1 and 2, backing up to our first point briefly. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's getting close. It's not far off. It's at hand. It's nearby. And then Jesus said, just a short time after that, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when there are those who are saying they're still looking for Christ to come back and set up a throne and sit on His kingdom on this earth, they've mistaken the fact that this kingdom or this church has already been established. And we're going to get to that point later in this lesson or the lesson in a Sunday night or two, that the church and the kingdom are one and the same, and that when the kingdom was established, the church was established. And when there was questions placed to the Lord about the kingdom, He pointed them to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And told them to wait for it. And when they waited and it came upon them, Peter preached, and what was established? The church, the kingdom that Christ said would come to pass. And they asked Him about restoring the kingdom to Israel. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1. And Jesus then said, wait here, and there's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And so all those things took place. So John the Baptist preached the kingdom. John the Apostle was in the kingdom. He preached about the kingdom. And Jesus preached the kingdom. Matthew 10 and verse 7. Turn over there. Matthew 10 and verse 7. Again, we see that the 12 apostles were told to preach the kingdom. Let's go to verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The limited commission, going to Israel here. Going to the Jews, first of all. When Peter preached on Pentecost, it was to the Jews, but it was opened up to all people then. Peter's the same one who went down to Cornelius' house in Acts 10 and preached to the Samaritans. But here, he's given the commission to the apostles to go out on this limited commission. He said, but go rather to the lost sheep, to the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you have in the beginning of the Gospels, in the book of Matthew, you see there in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, that John the Baptist preached the kingdom. Later on, several years later, John the Apostle, after the kingdom had been established, he was in the kingdom and he preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom, Matthew 4:17, and the 12 apostles preached that the kingdom is at hand, Matthew 10 and verse 7. So we see then, Luke chapter 10 and verse 9 that I read earlier, the 70 preached the kingdom. Let's go back to our text in Luke chapter 10 and verse 9 and look at that verse. He says in verse 9, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And so this is something that is going to soon come into fruition. This is that something soon is going to take place. When you look at the Gospels, it's future. The plan is that Mary is going to give birth to this son. The Virgin Mary will give birth to this son who is Jesus, the Son of God, whom God sent, and she conceived by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you're going to bear a son, and he's going to be named Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the people. And now, so he's going to be the one that's going to establish that kingdom. He's going to be the one that's going to be over that kingdom. He's going to be the foundation and the cornerstone to the church or that kingdom. And so all these different ones are preaching about the kingdom. Philip preached about the kingdom in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Turn over there. We were there this morning in Acts chapter 8 in part of our study. Matter of fact, in almost the same context we're going to this evening. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Notice what he said. Again, I want to back up to verse 9. Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But verse 12, now listen, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. When we look at John the Baptist and Jesus and the apostles, they're preaching there when they went out to the house of Israel saying, you know, the kingdom of heaven is hand, it's come near unto you. It's future. But now, the kingdom is in place, and the preaching's being done here in Acts chapter 8 about the kingdom, but the kingdom, the church is established, it is in place now. So he's preaching to them about this. Verse 12, the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women are baptized. And when they were baptized, we know whether they were added to the church or to the kingdom. And so it's an important subject, because when you think about Christ being the central theme of the Bible, the thing that God did for man, pointing toward the Savior, and then we look back to what the Savior did for us and what He does for us today, and looking forward to His coming again when we go home to heaven, and you look at the kingdom, looking forward to a kingdom that will be established that will never end, that will never go away. We're going to get to that in a few minutes in Daniel chapter 2. The subject of the kingdom is very important. It's very interesting, and the fact that this many people preached in this many different places about the kingdom, it is a true subject. It is a factual subject that all of us need to know all that we can about. Well, Paul preached the kingdom. Barnabas and Paul went out preaching the kingdom. Let's go, if you will, and let's look at a few places here. Matter of fact, I want to go, first of all, to Acts chapter 14, verses 20 and 22. I don't believe I have that on the board, but let's go to Acts chapter 14, verses 20 through 22. It says, however, when the apostles gathered around him, he rose. Well, this is when Paul was stoned, and they supposed him to be dead. Verse 19, it says, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God was preached beforehand. It was preached after the fact that it was established, and people were added to it continually as the kingdom of God, the gospel, was preached to bring people into the kingdom or the church. Let's go to Acts chapter 19 now and verse 18. Continue on with the fact that Paul preached the kingdom. Acts chapter 19 and verse 18. I have the wrong verse there. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 25. I believe in Acts 19 and 18 is the one I put down in the place of Acts 14, and that's why it wasn't on the board. So we read the verses I wanted to read. Let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Paul had gone out, and he was preaching the kingdom of God. Then we go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. So here's Peter, he's preaching the kingdom. Look at verse 31 then of Acts chapter 28 while you're there. We'll look at verses 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So Paul preached the kingdom, Philip preached it, the 70 went out talking about the kingdom, the 12 went out in Matthew 10 talking about the kingdom, Jesus did, John the Apostle did, after the fact the kingdom was established, and John the Baptist and Jesus talked about it before the kingdom was established. So we go then to see to James chapter 2 and verse 5, and we see that James also preached about that. James 2 and verse 5. You turn over there and you look and see that certainly when James talked about the kingdom and the things that were going to be important to those who are Christians, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all liberally. That's verse 1. James 2 and verse 5 is what we want. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of theirs of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those whom he loved. So look at all the different names we have on the overhead at this time of men who preached concerning what? The kingdom. So the kingdom is not something that needs to be just pushed aside and ignored and saying, well, it's not a very important subject. And it's not a subject that we can just let people stand up and say anything they want to about. We need to defend the truth of what the Bible says about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, and the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So James preached it. Then we go to 2 Peter 1 and verse 11. 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, we see that Peter preached the kingdom. And when we look at all these, Peter, of course, preached about it back in Acts chapter 2. We're going to get to that later on in another part of our lesson. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, when we talk about the church and the kingdom, sometimes it refers to the church on earth, the kingdom that we are in now on this earth. Sometimes it refers to the kingdom, the same kingdom, but it's in heaven, the eternal kingdom, where the saved will be turned over to God. The kingdom will be turned over to God by the Son in the last day, and the kingdom will be there forever in heaven, all the saved of all the ages with God the Father. But we are the kingdom right now is the church. Those who make up the kingdom are in that body on the earth. So we see then that at least 86 or 87 early preachers preached what? The same subject. The subject of the kingdom of Christ, or kingdom of God, or the church, one and the same. So it must be an important subject for them, and if it was important for them, it's important for us. We need to be preaching the kingdom of Christ today. And we need to be endeavoring to let other people see the kingdom of Christ as we would be participants in that kingdom, that we would be a light to the world, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. That they would know that there are people who are in the kingdom, who are living and having actions and words that show that they are in the kingdom or the church, that they belong to God. But what is the kingdom? Let's talk about that. When we look at that, we see that the kingdom, it is God's kingdom. And because He planned it, we're going to go to Daniel 2 and verse 44 in just a minute. But before we go to Daniel 2 and read those verses, you might go ahead and turn there if you want to. And we're going to go back and read those in just a few minutes. But as we go to Daniel chapter 2 and we see that the things that were said about the kingdom and the prophecy there, the kingdom that would never be shaken, the kingdom that would never be destroyed. We talk about the kingdom for just a minute. What is the kingdom? Well, the word kingdom, basileia, comes from that word. In the New Testament, it means reign or rule. R-E-I-G-N, reign or rule. Kingdom, the kingdom. That is, the reign of Christ, the rule of Christ. Kingdom has a king, and when Christ reigns, when He rules, there's a kingdom that's subject to Him. So he set that kingdom up. He is head over all things to the church, the kingdom. So kingdom or basileia in the New Testament means reign or rule. The term kingdom of God is used synonymously in the New Testament. Writers that wrote and talked with the kingdom of heaven. So they said the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, as I've already mentioned, which is one and the same, the church. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. We'll get to Daniel in just a minute. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. I've already had you turn to Daniel. But let's go back to Matthew 19 and look at just a couple of verses there. Matthew chapter 19. And as we go, we're going to go down to verse 23 and 24. Matthew 19, 23 and 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Assuredly I say unto you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." In these two verses, the same kingdom is referred to as what? The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. It's also referred to as the kingdom of Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And verse 17. Go back over there. Matthew 4 and verse 17. when we think about the term that's used and interchangeably to mean the same thing, again, from that time, we read this earlier, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church are one and the same. Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. I know we're doing a lot of flipping tonight, but I want to take these scriptures and as we make notes on them, if you don't have time to really soak all these in tonight, make notes on these and go back and read over them and notice how the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church, they are one and the same. And how that God set it up in His kingdom, in His Word, that there should be no misunderstanding about what the kingdom is. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So you think about the gospel needs to be taught for men to be saved, Romans 1:16. The gospel needs to be taught to who? To all the world, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus instructed for His apostles to go into all the world. We're instructed from the Word that we need to learn the Word, that we need to be teachers of the Word, that we'd also teach others that they might know the Word of God. The gospel needs to be taught, the good news of Christ about His shedding His blood, setting up His kingdom, and we can be a part of that. So we need to be preaching the kingdom today just as they did then. Not that at the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but the kingdom of heaven is here. And it has been here since AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem. So when we look at the word kingdom in the New Testament means reign or rule. Christ reigns or rules in a kingdom in that body. And so the subjects in that kingdom are you and I. And we're going to talk about how we get in that kingdom in this series of lessons also. So when we talk about the scriptures refer to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. These we looked at tonight, Matthew 19, Matthew 4, Mark chapter 1. These phrases or these words that are said about the kingdom do not refer to three different kingdoms. They refer to one and the same institution. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church are one and the same. One and the same. When I say Donald Weeks, what do you think about? I think about Donald Weeks, the Christian. You go to Priceville High School and you say Donald Weeks, a lot of them are going to think about a Christian, but a lot of them are going to think about a math teacher. One and the same. He's a math teacher. He's a Christian. Go to Priceville High School and say Donald Weeks, and somebody's going to think about a coach. Basketball coach. He's a coach. He's a teacher. He's a Christian. One and the same. You say Donald Weeks to Elizabeth, who she think about? My daddy. He's a dad. He's a teacher. He's a coach. He's a Christian. One and the same. So when we look at the church and we look at what God says about the kingdom and the church, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the church that Christ bought with His blood, why can't people understand? Why is it so hard for people to understand? And why is there so much confusion among men that the church, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God is the same? Christ is King. He's the head. He's the foundation of that church. The kingdom then. So let's look at that briefly. What is the kingdom? It is God's kingdom. Go back to Daniel 2 and verse 44 about where that kingdom is going to be set up. It's going to be set up, and it's going to be a kingdom that's going to be strong. It's going to be a kingdom that's going to last. It's going to be a kingdom that will endure. Acts 2 and verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and continue all these kingdoms. And consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, in the course of studying the kingdom that was prophesied in Daniel 2 and verse 44, when you look in the days of those kings, in the days of those Roman kings, in the days of those Caesars, when the time is right, God's going to set up His kingdom in the days of those kings. And when time came to pass, and God sent His Son, and He was born of Mary, and those kings were in rule over nations. The church was set up, the kingdom was established during that time. But here's a kingdom that's going to be set up that will never be destroyed. So it's a kingdom that's going to, He planned and He promised it'll never be destroyed. Let's also look then at Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. It is God's kingdom. He planned it. He promised it. In Daniel 7, 13 and 14, we're going to find out that this kingdom is going to be set up. Let's go to Daniel and read those verses in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought Him near before Him. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." When Jesus spoke of setting up the church, "I'll build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The kingdom is God's kingdom because He planned it and He promised it. It's the Son's kingdom because the Father gave it to Him. John chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus talks about what the Father gave Him. "What the Father gave Me is Mine. And the kingdom is going to be His." He gave it to the Son because the Son came out and purchased it. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 speaks of the fact of that kingdom and that it belongs to Christ. Ephesians 1, 20 and 20 through 22, we see that kingdom or that church, Christ has been made from God, has made Him head over all things to what? To the church, which is the kingdom. And He set Him up to be over the church, and so that kingdom belongs to Him. So when you look at the Old Testament, the prophecies, what is the kingdom? It's God's kingdom because He planned it and promised it. It is the Son's kingdom because the Father sent His Son and gave Him that kingdom, that His Son purchased it with His own blood. So the Father planned it, His Son bought it, and it belongs to His Son. It is the kingdom of heaven because it originated there. God, in His foresight, knew that He's going to send His Son. "I'm going to send His Son, and He can die for the sins of man, that they can come back to Me and they can be in the kingdom, they can be in the church." It originated there. Jesus Christ now reigns over it from heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. When Acts chapter 1, when they watched Him go back into heaven, and He's seated there at the right hand of God. He reigns over this kingdom. Acts 2, let's go there. Acts 2, verses 30 through 36. We were close to there this morning. We didn't read all those verses when Peter preached that first sermon. But notice what he said about this in Acts 2, beginning in verse 30. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." Where's the throne? It's in a kingdom. "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption, that this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses," Peter says. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself." So when we go back and we see John the Baptist preaching the kingdom is at hand, Jesus preached the kingdom is at hand, the apostles went out, the 70 went out saying the kingdom has come nigh, the kingdom is at hand, and Jesus, before he ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, was asked, "Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "The times and seasons, what I want you to do is wait here, and I'm going to send you the comfort of the Holy Spirit." So here's Peter and them in Acts 2 on Pentecost have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching to these people about who? About Jesus, the Son of God, who's come to this earth to die, and he has died. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and he's seated at the right hand of God. His flesh did not see corruption, and they're setting up the kingdom then So the kingdom of heaven originated with God, and Christ now reigns over it. And so ultimately then, everyone who is a part of that kingdom will be united in heaven in that kingdom. We're serving that kingdom here. We die faithful in the kingdom here. We'll be united in that kingdom in heaven in the next life, in eternity. Look to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, where Jesus talked about the fact that He's going to prepare a place for those who obey Him. He'd already talked about the fact that here, if you're My disciples, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. And in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, notice what He says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. If we're in the kingdom of the church on earth and we live faithful, then the place that Christ is prepared to take the kingdom home to turn over to the Father for eternity, we'll be in that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, turn over there, the Apostle Paul had something to say about this kingdom and the fact that those who serve faithfully in it here on earth can be raised incorruptible to go to be in that kingdom for eternity. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. I will begin in verse 20 and read through verse 24. We're almost through with our points for tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ is the firstfruits after those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God. What does it say? When He delivers the kingdom of God. What have we been talking about tonight? The kingdom of God. That was what? That was preached by 87 different men at different times in the New Testament, confirmed to be established, and people were added to it. And you die physically, and our body goes back thus the other, our spirit goes back to the God who gave it. And what's He going to do the last day? Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God, the Father. When He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. So when Christ comes again, He doesn't even say He's going to set foot on earth. As a matter of fact, He's going to come in the air and the saints will meet Him there. And so He's going to judge everyone. And what's going to happen? He's going to turn the kingdom over to God. There's not going to be a kingdom set up on this earth for 1,000 years. That's why it's important to study the kingdom. Because there's so much teaching that's been going on for hundreds of years, and especially the last century, about the premillennial thought that Christ is going to come back and reign 1,000 years on this earth and set up a kingdom. His kingdom's already here. It was established in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem when Paul preached the gospel. These people obeyed it by faith and were baptized, and the Lord added them to what? The church, which is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the church. The Lord's willing, we'll get into some more details about this 2 weeks from tonight, and continue with these thoughts about the kingdom. It's an important subject. It may take one little more lesson, or it could take two or three. Depends on how far we get, how many scriptures we actually take time to read or just refer to. Appreciate your good attention this evening, and I hope that there's been some information that will, again, as Christians, spark our interest to learn more and know more about God's Word and about the church and about God's plan for us and how it works, so that not only we can be faithful to it, but that we can explain it to others, that they might know the truth of what God has said about the kingdom, the church, and salvation for those who obey by faith. If you're here this evening and you're subject to the invitation in any way, if you need to be baptized into Christ, if you'll confess Him and repent of your sins, you can be baptized this evening and leave this building a child of God. If you're here and as a Christian you have something you need to correct in a public way, if we can assist you in that, then please come while we stand and while we sing.